Thank you, Lord. I so appreciate David, Karen, Pastor David, and Pastor Karen here this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the hospitality. I appreciate that. I have my spiritual dad is coming here, and I have one of his books I want to give away, Grace and Forgiveness by John Anat. This book has really helped me too, because since I was born a Muslim, and I had to deal with unforgiveness issues. I mean, people know we have to deal with them sometimes. The people who have hurt us, and especially my family. And this book has really helped me. So if who wants to have this? The woman, the person there, that back there. You know, you raised up your hand, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. Because I had to deal with forgiveness. I have to deal with people that I have to forgive them. Because I had to forgive my mom. I had to forgive my dad. And I have to forgive people that all along I was trying to see if I can put them in bondage. But it's me who is in bondage, because I didn't forgive them. And I was the one who was struggling. They have moved on. I'm the one still struggling. So I had to forgive them. Another book that I have here is called Praying the Bible Through by Stacy Campbell. Stacy is a good friend of mine. She's been to our church so many times. Maybe I can have her next year. But she's been a good friend of us. So it's a book that she came there. I've got this book, and I bought a lot of them to give away. So I've read a lot of, I didn't read all of them, but I've read a lot of them that has really blessed me. Really, really blessed me. Reading the Bible Through by Stacy Campbell. It made me to appreciate the Bible. This book has helped me to appreciate the Bible. Where's Sarah? Sarah, where are you? Sarah. Yeah, I want to give this to Sarah. Come and get Sarah. Yeah. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for singing for the kingdom. Thank you for singing for the kingdom. Yeah. I think my iPad is somewhere here. Here you go. Yeah. Not that I need it, but I usually, when I speak, I don't need my notes. What happens is that when I speak, most of the time he changes the topic, so I don't need my notes. But I so appreciate the Bible, and I so appreciate you guys. How many people enjoy this morning? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't God good?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your names? Yes.
Ephraim.
Huh? Ephraim. And you?
Faith.
Are you?
Married, yes.
Are you item?
We're married.
You're married.
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really? No, I'm just kidding. Don't mind me, I'm just becoming, look, I'm at home. You know, this is what I do in my church, I'm at home. I just kid around and just have fun. So I'm at home, honestly, I enjoy myself. You know? I was speaking a message and the message was about Pepto-Bismol. Have you ever heard of Pepto-Bismol? When you drink it, it stops you from having diarrhea. Never mind, I shouldn't just be joking that. So I spoke a message and, never mind. Let me move on here. I just love, You know what? I just love Jesus. I love Jesus. Let me make the Baptist people happy today. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs. Is it what you call them? Proverbs?
Proverbs.
Huh? Proverbs. Canadians have a way of pronouncing. You guys have a way of pronouncing it. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. See, they're trying to teach me English. I know. I'll pronounce it Jesus' way, okay? Proverbs. That's Jesus' way. And by the way, a lot of people, you know, people will be surprised when they get to heaven. There's no English in heaven, you know. People will be surprised. And you know, let me even say this. People will be surprised when they get to heaven, there's no theology. There's no denomination in heaven. And then we fight each other for some silly stuff. All I just want to just have fun with Jesus. You know, that theology, that denomination, that, there's nothing like that in heaven. None. They won't ask you when you get to heaven, oh, what denomination are you? Get over here. No. They say, where's your heart is? Where your heart is, it brings the issues of life. Where your heart is. Where your heart. Do you know me? Do you know him? That's the key. Not what kind of I'm Pentecostal, I'm Baptist, I'm Anglican. Look, I don't like religion. Religion destroys people. Amen. Look at the Muslim religion and all the Hindu, they destroy people. Religion hurts. Relationship is what makes sense. Relationship. Okay, let me move on here. Proverbs chapter 16. Let's start with verse 7. Let me just read out one single verse, and then we'll take it from there. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways is pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him. When a man's ways is pleasing to the Lord, he makes even the enemy, even to make the what? Your enemy to what? When your ways is pleasing to God, when you get to know this Jesus and you spend time with him and your relationship with him is exciting, he even makes your enemy to be at peace with you. He makes the things that are impossible, possible. He makes the things that everybody's scared of for you to go there and do stuff that to change people's lives. Amen. When his ways is pleasing to, when your ways is pleasing to him, he reveals his secrets to you. He tells you stuff. The Bible says when a man's ways is pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemy to be at peace with him. When I first started this journey, can you imagine? I started this journey. I have no grade. When I first, I didn't have any religion in me. I was religious when I became a Muslim. I was religious. Everybody called me religious. He's very religious. And that's what it is. And I was killing people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was hurting people. But when I met Jesus and I built a relationship, I love people. Relationship makes you love people. So here I am. My pastor came and I was in my church and the Lord told me to go and plant a church in about 30 minutes away And my pastor released me to go and plant this church. I was so excited to go and plant this church. And I went to this city called Aurelia. That's where I still live. I had an exciting time. I was going, you know, when you want to plant a church, you want to win the whole world. I was expecting. I've never been pregnant, but I was expecting. I was expecting for me to change lives, and I'm still changing lives. But I was so happy. I was going there to change everything. And I got there. The pastors all came together and wrote a bad letter to me. They said they don't want me, they don't want me in the city. Here I am. I'm excited to come to the city. I came to the city. They said, look, they all gathered together. And they said, we don't want you in the city. And I'm saying, my goodness, this is God's country. Nobody owned the city. But yet they told me they don't want me in the city. They said, when you go to that church, holy goodness, you shake a bakey. They don't want me there. I remember that day, this pastor, he gave me a call. He said, can we meet? I said, sure. He said, can we meet at Tim Hortons, which is like Starbucks? I said, sure. So we went to the Starbucks or Tim Hortons. And he said, no, I don't want to sit by you because I don't want people to see me with you. And I'm saying, this is not good. So he said to me, you know what? Can we go and sit in my car, in his car? Because if you go sit with me in Tim Hortons, the people say, no. Because they don't want me in the city. If they say guilty by association. So I didn't know what to do. He said, well, let's go sit in his car. He said, no. Then he changed his mind. If you sit in my car and people see me sitting in the car, They don't come to my church anymore. And I said, okay, why don't you sit in my car? And my car was dented. So we went to sit in my car. And then he made a mistake. He said, can we pray? What a big mistake. Can we pray? I said, yes. I said, Holy Spirit, come. That's it. He was hot in the car. He said, what did you put in the car? I said, nothing. I just said, Holy Spirit, come. And he was just shaking in the car. He said, Pastor, there's something wrong here. I said, I know. He's here. He was so, his fingers, his hands were shaking. He was kicking. He didn't know what got him. He didn't know what God. He said, well, is that what you do? I said, yeah, that's normal. Normal? How can you be shaking the car? It's normal. So he's getting nervous in the car. He said, maybe you should get out of my, maybe it's my car that is the problem. So we got out from my car and went to his car. He sat on the driver's side. I sat on the passenger side. It happened, and I said, Holy Spirit, come again. It started happening again. He said, maybe because he's sitting on the driver's side. So we swap seats and hasn't changed anything. He was so touched. He was sweating so much. And there was it wasn't hot. So he went back to the ministerial and said, that guy is good. That guy is normal. Don't go to his car. don't enter his car because there's something there. And he brought the same thing to my car. I said, I didn't do anything. All I just invited was Jesus. That's all I just did. But when your ways is pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemy to be what? At peace with him. So here I am, the people that, guess what? Every one of them today are my good friends. Every single one of them are my good friends. Actually, I have a good friend of mine who is a Baptist pastor. We spend once a month praying. But before then, he even preached on the pulpit. Say, stay away from Zach's church. So one day, you know, sometimes God is a good setup. How many people know that? He's very good at this. He's so good at setting up people up. So one day he made a mistake and invited me to come and pray, come and get, he wants to get to know me. So he invited me to his office. I went to his office and we got to his office. And all these big books. So we sat in his office and at the end we talked and at the end he said, let's pray. I said, oh yeah. I love it when people say, let's pray. It's dangerous. So he said, let's pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, come. That's one of my favorites. Holy Spirit, come. And I said, Holy Spirit, come. And you could see the presence, you could see in the office. You could see the temperature in the office. You could see that the elevation of his presence. You could see that. I mean, he started saying, Zach, there's something going on here. What did you do? I said, I did nothing. I just invited him to come. And then the Lord gave me a word like that. He said, his wife is pregnant. And the baby, they went to the doctor, and the doctor said to him that they are going to lose the baby. The Lord told me to tell him, I have good news for you. You're not going to lose the baby. The baby is going to live and not die. I said that. You could see the tears in his eyes. Within 5 minutes, his wife called. He said, the doctor called and said, the baby is okay. From that day, he's become my friend. You know why? When your ways is pleasing to the Lord, he makes the enemy to be at peace with you. Why am I saying this? A lot of us, our relationship with God is so shallow. We have a shallow relationship. Because you know what? We're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid people will know us. When people know us, you know, when I first started, I was 35, people know me, they don't like me. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I do is that I do the same thing with God. I become shallow with God. I don't tell him what I'm going through. And the funny thing is that a lot of people say, well, God knows everything, so I shouldn't tell him. If it's true that he knows everything, why should he ask you to ask again? Right? Why would he tell you to ask when you already know? And we know he knows everything, but yet he's telling you to ask him. Asking shall be given, knocking shall be opened. Seek and you will find. But when your ways is pleasing to the Lord, it becomes like your family. Families don't betray families. Friends don't betray friends. That's why he said to the disciples, you're no longer my slaves. You're now my what? Friends. Because what? Relationship. But when a man's ways is pleasing to the Lord, he gets him closer and closer to the throne, to the kingdom. It brings him closer to the kingdom. When Moses' ways is pleasing to the Lord, guess what happened? He got to know God. He got his curiosity. When your ways is pleasing to the Lord, he brings your curiosity very close. You're very sensitive. You're very what? Sensitive. He brings you closer for you to get to know him. He expresses himself to you. You know, he wants to dance with you. He wants to have a romance with you. He wants to have this exciting life with you. See, when you have God, when you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's never boring. How can you say church is boring? Church is boring when you don't have the Holy Spirit in it. When the Holy Spirit is in the church, he shakes the things that are not shakable. He disturbs the comforters. You want to be comfortable? Don't invite him. If you don't want to be comfortable, don't invite him. He makes everything that is not movable, movable. So here we are. Man, I became, when I was 2 years old, I got sick. I almost died. Really, really, really sick. I became skinny like a bone. You know when you watch TV and you watch this Ethiopian kid sometimes, or you see all the skin bones? I was like that. I was sick. I almost died. My parents, they had money. They sent me to Paris. They took me to Paris. They spent a lot of money. And still, I wasn't well. And then my parents had no, they didn't know what else to do. And they didn't want me to, they didn't want me to die in front of them. So they took me to the, they wrapped me in a blanket and took me to the forest and let me in the forest to die. So they left me in the forest for 3 days and three nights for me to die in the forest. I am 2 years old. I have no clue. I was sick. But what happened is, when they left me in the forest, my mom couldn't handle it. And so they came to get me back the 3 days, three nights in the forest with the heat on. I didn't eat anything. I don't know how I survived it. 3 days, three nights. I was left in the forest to die. And my mom came to get me. And there was a woman in the village who's a missionary nurse, from Germany, came to our village. And all I knew is that my parents took me to this woman and left me with this woman for 6 months. Every single morning when we wake up, in the evening and morning, she put her hands on my chest and prayed for me in the name of Jesus. And I was still a Muslim. I have no clue. I was just 2 years old. So I got better and better and better and better and better. And then she left to Germany. And I haven't seen her since. So I became a lot better, but I had this stomach pain that doesn't go away. So here I am. I went to Arabic school. I finished Muslim Arabic school. I went to Mecca 3 times. I have all those makawiya. I have all that stuff. It's all vanity now. It's no good anymore. So I was trained before I went to a regular school. I was trained as a Muslim clergy. I was trained to do this. I'm just explaining to you, when your waist is pleasing to the Lord, how he makes your enemy to be at peace with you. So here I am, at the age of 2 years old, I got sick, I almost died, and this woman prayed for me twice a day in the name of Jesus. They answered me, and I got better and better and better. I went to school, finished school, finished Arabic school, then went to regular school, and I planted a mosque. And I wanted to find out where I was born. I was originally born from Nigeria. I wanted to find out where I was born. So I went to Nigeria to go and find out where I was born. When I got to Nigeria, I joined the mosque again. And they made me the imam of that mosque in Nigeria as well. And I planted a second and planted a third one. I met these two good Christian friends. These good Christian friends are good Christian friends, but they are troublemakers. They come to my house. They bring their Bible. I bring my Quran, and we debate. They want to win. I want to win. When we debate, if I can win, I physically beat them because I want to get rid of them. I beat them. The next morning, they come back and say, well, we're concerned about your soul. I didn't know what soul is. They say, we want to win you to Jesus. And no, I'm not interested in Jesus. So we debate back and forth, back and forth. I remember one day we were debating, and finally, I took a pail of cold water and dumped it over their heads. I pushed them outside so people would think they peed on themselves. The next day, they were back again. I wanted to get rid of them. They wouldn't go. So I lived in a house where there's a woman who had a baby. And the girl is 12 years old, who's paralyzed from her waist to her foot. So that weekend, the mother and father went somewhere, and they asked me to take care of this baby. And then Before then, 6 months before, my friends told me that we should, they have this Christian meeting somewhere. And if I go and drop them, they will never bother me again. I say, yes, I'll take you. I'll take you anywhere I can do. I just don't want you to come and talk to me about Jesus any longer. So that day, the same day I was babysitting this girl, that's when they showed up. And I said, what are you doing? So, well, you promised to take us to the stadium and we'll never bother you again. I said, no, I'm babysitting. He said, no. Well, if you don't take us to the stadium, we keep coming to your house. Okay, I'll take you. I took them today. I took the girl with the clutches with me into the car, and we drove an hour to this stadium where this big Christian meeting, huge Christian meeting. The name of the guy is Benson Hidalholsa. I don't know whether you've ever heard of that guy. Benson Hidalholsa. He was speaking. I never met the guy. I'd never seen the guy before. But he was speaking in the stadium, and they had the speakers outside the stadium. I was outside the stadium. I dropped my friends to go to this meeting, and I forgot to ask them, where is the, how to get to the highway. So my car was running. The guy was in the car. So I went outside to go and look for somewhere to ask for where I could go to the highway. And people thought I parked the car. In Nigeria, they don't have parking lines. They park in front of me, my side, and they block me in the back of the stadium. I couldn't go. And I'm mad. Besides, I am a Muslim imam. What am I doing at a Christian meeting? In a small village, everybody knows everybody. Now I'm nervous now. So they blocked me at the back of the stadium, and I didn't know what to do. So the problem is, now I have to find ways. If the car keeps running, I'm going to run out of gas because I don't know how long they're going to be in the stadium. So I turned on the car, and the car was hot. So I had to have no choice to take the girl out of the car with me. I took the girl out of the car, gave her crutches, and we were walking towards the bench so she can sit down. And this guy, the speaker, this guy started shouting, Jesus, Jesus. And then I was trying to hide my face because I didn't want people to recognize me. I was hiding my face, and I started walking, and I was telling her to hurry up. So as I was hurrying, she leaned on one of the crutches, and it broke. And then she leaned on the second one again, and it broke. And I said, I didn't want people to rush, so I better carry her. So I carried her in my arms, and I was walking her towards the bench. And I heard this guy speaking. I could hear all the Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then suddenly, I saw her left leg, boops. I just heard, boops. And one of her legs started dangling like that. Her leg had never moved in her entire life. But, oops, and her legs were moving. And she said, Zach, what's happening? I said, this is voodoo. This is witchcraft. This guy, he started saying, gee, the more her legs moved, and the more this guy said, Jesus, the more her legs started moving. Then I heard, boops, and her left leg started, now both legs were dangling back and forth. And then she said, I want to walk. I said, no, you can't. You're in my arms. How could you walk? And she said, my legs are straight. I want to walk. I said, no, you can't. And she bit me.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Did you see the teeth, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She bit me. And she held my skin with her teeth, and I slammed it on the floor. And the blood was coming out. And I said, how could this be? I've never seen that in my entire life. Just the name of Jesus speaking in a speaker, a girl who was paralyzed was healed. And I said, Jesus, I don't care who you are. She has a big problem, and you could heal her. I have a little problem, just a stomach pain. It's very little. Can you take care of that for me? And I had my stomach grinding. And from that day to today, I've never had any stomach problems. God healed me too. But that's not my problem. That's not my problem. My problem is now I have to go home. It's a Muslim society. I have to go and explain what happened to her. I have to explain to her mom and dad, where did you take my daughter? Where did you take the, what happened to her? I can't even explain it myself. Somebody said, Jesus, and the girl is paralyzed, is healed. I mean, how can you tell somebody that way? How can somebody understand you that way? So I'm going home, and you could see my thought in my mind. What is, I didn't know what to do. It takes an hour. It took 3 hours to go home. Because I didn't know what to do. Thank God I got home before they got home. And, you know, when parents come home, this girl just ran to her mom and dad. And she went, poops. She passed out. She's never seen her daughter walk before in her entire life. Her daughter ran to her and she passed out. And her dad's eyes was bulgy, seeing her daughter. And I didn't know what to tell them either. I didn't know what to say. Why did you say Jesus in the speaker? Go heal. How? I don't know. But that's not my problem. The problem is I have to lead the prayer on that night. So I went to the mosque. I was reciting my normal prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So I mean to say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somehow, I have no idea how this words came out of my mouth. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the mosque. In the mosque. And I got myself into trouble. That's the problem. That's the beginning of my problems. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So they wanted to kill me. I was hiding my cars till I finally, one day my brother, who's in Canada, who's a student in Canada, invited me to, he sent me a student visa to come to Canada as a student. So I came to Canada. I said, now that I'm in Canada, wait a minute, it's a land of freedom. I'm free. Nobody can kill me. Nobody can harm me. I'm absolutely free. The Muslims don't like me anymore. I mentioned Jesus. When I mentioned Jesus, the Christians, you know, I mentioned Jesus. I got myself into trouble. I was in the mosque. I mentioned Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They don't want to like me. Muslims don't like me. The Christians, you don't mention Jesus, because when you mention Jesus, you get yourself into trouble. So I became a pagan. I started with Baha'i. That didn't go well. And I started chanting. That didn't go well either. And I was trying to fill in all those gaps. Because my parents didn't want me, because I mentioned Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the mosque. They shunned me. They rejected me. They don't have anything to do with that. Anything to do with, they cut me off. So I was looking for relationship. I was looking because Africans are very close. They like with families. And I'm isolated in Canada by myself alone. I can't have family anymore. So that day, I planned to kill myself. 3 o'clock, January 3rd, 1997. I planned to finish it all off. I'm getting back to the scripture. The Bible says when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes your enemy to be at what? At peace with you. So here I am. I finished school. I did all sorts of things. I was making good money. And guess what? I had no friends. My neighbors don't like me because my neighbors don't talk to me. You know, when you're in Canada, your neighbors, everybody's mind their own business. In Africa, you knock at everybody's door. Even if they don't invite you, you invite yourself in. In Canada, you can't do that. You can't just invite yourself to your neighbor. In Canada today, my neighbor is Jehovah's Witness. No, never mind. That's another story. So I wanted to kill myself because I had no family. So at 3 o'clock, On January 3rd, 1997, I wanted to kill myself. So at 3 minutes to 3, I had a big knock. Bang, 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 in the middle of the early in the morning. Who knocks at your door early in the morning? So I went to open the door. There was nobody. I was mad. I mean, this is not Africa. In Africa, they knock at your door. They don't tell you. But in Canada here, they have to ring you. And this person didn't ring, just knock at my door. Bang, bang, bang. And I went to open it. There was nobody. Huh, that's odd. So before I went to lay down, I heard the second, and this time became louder. And I was mad. So I just pretended as if I was going to the bedroom. And I heard, bang! And I opened the door and I heard this voice for the first time in my entire life. It's the voice that changed me forever. He said, if your mother and father forsake you, I'll be there for you. Whoa. I'm going crazy now. I'm hearing voices. I'm hearing voices. And he said, I did not say to the seed of Jacob for you to seek me in vain. He said, I have another assignment for you. You'll be doing an assignment for the enemy. Now I have an assignment for you. And I said, I mentioned your name, Jesus. I got myself into trouble. I don't want anything to do with you. He said, I am Jesus. Let me help you. No, I said, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. And he said to me, will you trust me? And that voice is so awesome. So amazing. Even thinking about it, it's so amazing. So amazing. That precious voice of Jesus. That voice. So distinct. So precious. And that voice makes you tremble. I knelt down in my room. I said, Jesus, this is me. I have nothing to give you. All I have is you. So I give my life to Jesus in that room. And that's what changed me. That's my quest in life, for people to hear him, to get closer. Because that thing changed me. That moment, my whole world changed. That whole day, that moment, my life was changed. I met the Master. I haven't seen anybody who's met him that has ever been the same. I haven't seen that yet. But when I met him, at the point of my need, at the need, at the time where nobody else could, that's the one I met him, and he changed me forever. He completely reshaped my life when I met him. That's what I can tell about him. I can talk about him. That's how precious he is. See, he's the most gifted person you can ever meet. He's the most talented person you can ever have. He's the most precious person. He's a person. That Holy Spirit is a person. Came into my room and said, I have a different assignment for you. And that's what I've been doing since I met him. This is my assignment. That's what changed me. When you encounter him, it makes your life better. When you encounter him, fear is gone. When you encounter him, he reveals to you at the point of your need. And he says, when your ways are pleasing to him, he makes your enemy to be at peace with you. Do you know what? I've made peace with so many people that it's impossible to make peace with. He directs. He leads. The Bible says we are led by the Spirit of God and we walk by the Spirit. Anytime we are led by the Spirit of God, we become sons and daughters of God. When we've been led. The reason why we don't see things happening is because we're not being led. When we've been led by Him, when He leads us, He will never let us fall into the ditch. When He leads us, He directs our path. He directs our relationship. He makes this relationship with Him become precious. This is the most powerful person in the whole world. His name is Jesus. And He introduced me to His friend, the Holy Spirit. I thought I met Jesus, but when I met the Holy Spirit, wow. And when you meet the Father, it's even better. All of them are great. And when you meet the three of them, wow! 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 So here I am, an ex-Muslim guy who has absolutely doesn't know anything about religion. He has nothing to do with Christianity. And suddenly met Jesus, and his life is changed forever. Forever. That's how I got connected with the Holy Spirit. That's why I got to know Him. That's what changed my life. So here I am. So let me give you four things, and then we end, okay? It's 3:00, then we pray, okay? Four things. One of the things that stops us from getting closer to the Holy Spirit is religion. He hates religion. A lot of people think they're not religious. Till you come to find out, whoopsie, what you do is religion. There's nothing to do with Christianity. Like the guy told me, go lock yourself in the room, put all the black curtains, and read the Bible from morning to evening for 7 days. The 8th day is the bonus one. That's religion. And I remember distinctly, I heard this. When I became a born-again Christian, some Christians were like, we'll see how far you're going to go with this, because you know what? We've been there, done that. We've got a T-shirt. You know what? I'm still the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I'm still excited the day I became a born-again Christian. I'm still excited today. Amen. You know why? Because I have somebody who has a relationship with. That doesn't give up on me. He doesn't give up on me. I may sometimes want to let go, but He won't let me go. He won't let me go. He won't let me go at all. He so loved me so much that He died for me. He died on the cross for me. One, religion. You know what religion does? Religion divides people. Religion what? That's what? Divides people. Religion doesn't get you. Religion becomes work. It becomes dead works. You know what dead works is? Anything that doesn't bring life. It's dead works. That's what religion does. And we work hard. And you know what? We're trying to work hard our way. That's what we're trying to work our way towards to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. It's relationship. And then when we become Christians, guess what we do? We're still doing the work. We bring the same thing we used to do before you were born again Christian. We brought it back into Christianity. And we're still doing exactly the same thing. We're still working. But you know what? But as we have been led by Him, we become children of God. Religion makes us work hard and not get anything solved. Number two, fear. Do you know in the Bible there's 365 fear. There's only one time there's no fear in the Bible. It's 365. Fear not. He said in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'll be with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will help you. I will protect you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Fear not, those little foxes have come to give you the kingdom. Give you the kingdom. Fear not. Fear is what stops people. You know what fear people are afraid of? People are afraid of people. What you are going to say. What you're going to say. People are afraid of what people are going to say about you. You know, when I met him, God, that's the first thing God healed me of. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. What you say doesn't bother me. I can choose what I receive and what I don't receive. I choose. So when you say, when you come and give me blah, 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 if I don't want the word, I won't receive the word. If it jives with my spirit, I receive it. If it doesn't, no, I reject it in the name of Jesus. Fear is what causes people from being successful. People are so afraid of what people think. People are afraid of, oh, if I do this, I'm going to fail. The fear of failure. People don't want to fail. People don't want to make mistakes. Excuse me? Do you know what? I bumped my French class. I didn't graduate that year, but the next year I did graduate it. But I bumped it. Does it mean I'm a loser? No. I learned something. What I learned is don't drink coffee because if you drink coffee, you fall asleep. You don't fall asleep. I drank coffee, I fell asleep. A lot of people drink coffee to be awake, don't you? I drink coffee to fall asleep. That's not good, isn't it? So I am in university and I wasn't a Christian then, and they told me, well, if you drink the blackest coffee, you will not sleep, so you can study, you can cramp all night. And somebody told me, if you drink Canadian coffee with Kenyan coffee, mix them together. They say you will not fall asleep. I drank that coffee. I mixed it. That thing was so bitter. That was bitter. I almost puked that thing out. And I went to my classroom to study. I dozed off. The class finished. The next morning, they came and knocked at my door. They thought I was dead. I didn't show up in class, and I never missed class. So they came and knocked on my door, and I was still half asleep. I said, oh, we got to go write the test. They said, well, you finished the exams already. I said, you did what? I dozed off. From that day, I never touched coffee. Never touched coffee again. I'm not saying coffee is not good, but for me, that's it, man. But what I'm saying is that when you get connected with this religion, so one, religion. Two, fear. Number three, you know what stops people from what stops people from coming closer? Vulnerability. People don't want to be vulnerable. People don't like vulnerability. People don't want to be exposed. You know, when you turn on the light, the cockroaches hide. We're like cockroaches. We don't want everybody to know who we are. We're afraid of being vulnerable. If people know who I am, they will never be friends with me. You know what? I don't care whether you become a friend or not. What I care is about Jesus. And because I care about Jesus, I can be friends with people. Because I have the same DNA he has. And he loves people. So one, religion. Two, fear. Three, vulnerability. People don't like to be vulnerable. People are afraid to be vulnerable. People are afraid to be exposed. And the Bible says anything that is hidden will be exposed. Anything that is hidden. And number four. People don't like intimacy. We love intimacy, but we don't like intimacy. Everybody wants to be intimate. But my intimacy is, you stay there, I stay here. Because if I'm intimate, I have to expose a portion of my life that nobody else knows. That's what I'm saying. And when you are intimate with Jesus, when you're intimate with the Holy Spirit, He always reveals things that is stopping you from getting closer to Him. And start chipping them off. Start chipping them off. One of the things that one of the little, I call it little foxes, spoil the vine. You see little foxes? Spoil the vine. And some of the little things that we do, that causes us from getting closer. Because you know what? God is holy. And because He's holy, there are certain things you do that is stopping Him from getting closer. Because when you do that, He doesn't want to connect. Little lies. When I was young, I'm still young, you know what? Like that. My dad would say, somebody would come and knock at the door. My dad would say, don't tell them I'm here. How many people parents told them that? Don't tell them I'm here. And I didn't know better. So I said, they told me to tell them they're not here. You think that's not good, you know? After everybody's gone, I get whacked. I get in trouble. Because I tell them, because I didn't know, you know? They call it little white lies. You know what I'm saying? But those little white lies stop you from getting closer. These little white lies stop you getting closer. So those little things affect your relationship. And it's one of the things. So here I am. I was driving the car, and I was driving at the, actually I was driving the church van, and a lot of people do this a lot. A lot of people do this. I was driving the church van, and when I was driving, and I passed a place whereby it looks like there's no houses there, so I can speed. It says 60 kilometers, and I went 100 kilometers. Woo! And this police officer, I think, is an angel hiding somewhere. I looked everywhere in the van. You can see every. So I looked. There was no police officer. There was no car. I don't know where that car came from. There was, and he stopped me. And he came to the car and the van. He said, "Oh, Pastor Zach." That's not a good sign, isn't it? A police officer knows your name. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign at all. And he said, Pastor Zach, do you know, were you speeding? And I'm thinking, do I say yes to anything now? Since he mentioned my name now, I can pretend as if I wasn't speeding so he can forgive me. And he said, are you speeding? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you remember the message you preached one day? Come on. Do you remember the message? I said, no. And so you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I said, what has that got to do with tickets? He said, the truth is you are speeding. And now that you're speeding, the truth will set you free. Pastor Zach, go. Don't sin anymore. Isn't that something? And I'm saying, okay. Duh. But the man gave me grace. He gave me grace. He called me by my name. He didn't call me Zach, he called me Pastor Zach. So, and I still even don't remember where I know him from. I still don't even remember where I preached that message. Scary, isn't it? But what I'm saying is, when you have a relationship with God, He makes those little things that are impossible to solve it for you, including the police officer forgiving you, including They're making you a celebrity. By the police officer following me in the car. There's something about me and the police officers, you know. Yeah, it's a miracle. And I think some of the police officers are not real police, they are angels. I don't know how I know, but I just know. All right. But little foxes stop us from getting closer to God. When we do, when we lie, when we tell little lies, it stops us from getting closer. When we're not being vulnerable. But when you're being vulnerable, you know, when you're vulnerable, he opens up himself. He becomes vulnerable to you. He wants to get closer. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have this deep relationship with you. When your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes your enemy to be at peace with you. Let's all stand up.